Welcome to Stories from the First Watch. This is not a true episode of the show, but rather a short summary of the events from episodes 11 to 15. Episode 11 begins with a flashback to Mara's life in the realm of Tavolia, 6 months before the events of the main story. Mara tells her family, assembled for dinner, that she wishes to leave the safety of her seaside home to travel to the provinces, where she wants to enroll in one of the colleges of magic. Her family are shocked, but reluctantly accept that she wishes to pursue her own destiny. Returning to the present, the party face off against a group of four dwarven zombies, who give them a tough battle before finally being defeated. Narvi is outraged at the sacrilege of whoever has taken over the halls of Caramund, and Almanda, wounded by the zombies, is fortunate to not get infected by the necrotic disease. The party next encounter a room that is empty, save for a large metal cage in one corner. In it is imprisoned a bandit, who the party realises is being eaten away by the same disease carried by the zombies. His face and body are pocked with areas of decaying flesh, and he calls out to them in a heavy, laboured voice. The focus then switches back to Druk's band of goblins, who are climbing the high ground outside Hollow Hill, on the way back to Caramund. Druk is furious at not finding the party, and warns his minions not to kill their master's prisoners, although eating their limbs is acceptable. In episode 12, we rejoin the party, as they encounter the badly wounded bandit named Morton, who had been the handler of the dwarven undead, raised by the necromancer who has made his home in Caramund. Morton had been bitten by his charges, and as a result was abandoned by his fellows in the cohort of Paha. Almanda, realising the man's time is almost up, manages to cajole information out of him, and the party learn why the bandits have been raiding the Hollow Hill and capturing its inhabitants. They also receive confirmation that the bandits have been aided by a traitor in the village's midst. Before they can learn any more, Morton breathes his last, but shortly after is resurrected as another undead creature, who attempts to attack Almanda before Narvi comes to the latter's aid. Shaken, the party decide to rest, and Mara's studies pay off as she is imbued with sorcery, receiving the spell Detect Magic. Continuing their journey into the heart of the fortress, the party realise the passages are heading downwards and becoming less worked by dwarven hands, until they find themselves in deep natural caverns. Narvi explains this is a dwarf custom to placate the spirits of the Yunta Mountains. Shortly after, the party is surprised by a group of giant beetles who have been feasting on the corpses of two bandits. After a brief struggle, in which Longo is badly hurt and Killia suffers the effects of one of the creature's poisonous attacks, the beetles give up and scuttle off into the darkness. In episode 13, we briefly cut to the goblin band who have tracked the party almost since the beginning of the tale. They re-enter Caramund, the scent of the party hot in their nostrils. After resting and healing, the companions find themselves in an old chapel, in which stands an altar fashioned to the shape of a dwarven god, and a statue that represents the spirits of the mountain. Most significantly, the party find a makeshift cell, in which stand 11 of the 16 villagers who had been abducted from Hollow Hill. Their spokesman tells the party members that they had been badly treated by the bandits, fed slops and beaten regularly, and that occasionally a tall, thin, bony-looking man would visit them, running his hands over individuals and then selecting them by some unknown purpose, whereupon they were spirited away. The villager tells the party that this man was referred to as Master Lucan, corroborating the name given to them by Morton. Just as they are about to release the prisoners, the party are startled by a grinding noise, which turns out to be a living statue, an automated construct that has been enchanted to attack intruders after a certain number of minutes has passed. And combat is about to ensue. In episode 14, the party are faced with the horror of the living statue. It attacks the party members with ferocity, blasting them with molten rock from its fingertips. After failing to harm the statue with a flaming brazier, Longo takes the full force of its terrible weaponry and is killed outright. The remaining party members, horrified, combine to overwhelm the statue, gradually wearing it down until the magic binding it together fails, and it collapses in a pile of stone onto the floor. The party are now left with the horrible realization that Longo is dead. Maccus, his good friend, is utterly bereft, as Mara tries to comfort him. Narvi says a dwarven prayer over the militiaman's body, and Elmander, his sword shattered after destroying the statue, takes a scimitar that had been placed on the chapel's altar, and which Mara had discovered using her detect magic spell. Killia, meanwhile, turns her attention back to the prisoners, who had been cowering in the cell. Just before she can attempt to pick the cell lock, however, the party are ambushed by Drug's band of goblins, who have finally caught up with them after days of pursuit. The focus pulls back from the action to instead settle on the backstory of Lucan, who we first meet as a humble shepherd boy, encountering a wild hedge wizard and learning his ways. After summoning a demon, whose presence still haunts his mind, Lucan was cast out by the wizard, and after years of wandering the wilderness, eventually travelled to the city of Baladern. Here he became a member of the notorious Death Cult, the Cohort of Paha. He flourished in the cult, but after it was scattered by the city guard, Lucan fled and began to rebuild his power in the ancient halls of Caramund, where he allied with goblins and the remnants of the Cohort to begin hunting people for his twisted experiments. In episode 15, just as they defeat the statue, the party barely have time to mourn Longo and to rescue the prisoners before they are surrounded by the band of goblins who have finally caught up with them. Just as they are about to be attacked for possibly the final time, the arrival of a troop of bandits of the Cohort of Paha leads to a tense standoff between Druk and the bandits' captain, Bargeld. As Bargeld orders his men to take the prisoners, Druk's patience finally snaps, and the goblins and bandits engage in a brutal combat, the party members forgotten. The fight is interrupted by the arrival of an ominous cloaked figure, who casts a hold person spell on the goblins. It then warns Druk that any further mutiny will be harshly punished. This figure then orders Bargeld and his men to take the party to his chambers. Once he leaves the room, we finally learn that the cloaked figure is Lucan himself. In episode 16, we will learn of the party's fate. But in the meantime, do check out my blog at firstwatchstories.blogspot.com. I have also set up a Ko-fi page at ko-fi.com/storiesfromthefirstwatch, should you wish to tip me a metaphorical coffee and help me cover the costs of running the show. You can also follow me on X and at Blue Sky at firstwatchstories. That's first as in the number. Thank you as always for your support, and do get in touch with any questions, suggestions, or offers for voice acting. I always appreciate anyone who can act better than I can, which in fairness is most people. Thank you, and join me next time on Stories from the First Watch.